India tries to supercharge its manufacturing in a final budget before key elections. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Yes, the general election might be a year away, but against a tough economic backdrop, India's government is putting a focus on growing its manufacturing base and aiding the least well off, as the BBC's Arundhati Mukherjee in Delhi told us.
The aim is to create more jobs, to increase spending and boost growth. So that's the mammoth share as far as the budget is concerned. And there's also a focus on skilling youth. So creating institutions which will help the youth get jobs in India as well as abroad. The other big aspect that is important to focus on is the reiteration of the government's commitment towards greener energy, because India still, as you'd know, is heavily reliant on fossil fuels like coal. Most of its electricity still comes from coal.
You mentioned some of those big capital expenditure projects, Arundhati. Some of that has been really focused on boosting manufacturing, hasn't it?
That's right. A lot of it has been focused on building big plants and factories to churn out more output and also increase its export content. But just a word in also, Will, in terms of what it means for the lower and the middle income bracket here in India, because the government also talked about some tax exemptions. So no tax for those earning up to $8,500 annually. Earlier, the cap was around $6,000. So this is one of the examples of some of the populist measures that the government has come out with.
Yeah, really interesting. So boosting jobs, lowering taxes, I guess kind of trying to really aim at those lower earners. Difficult, though, with the state of India's government finances, because there's no real wiggle room, is there, for the government to announce any big blockbuster projects, a huge big infrastructure spending project because of the state of the government finances.
Absolutely. The fiscal deficit, according to the government, has been estimated to be at around 5.9% of India's GDP. But the government's saying it is confident of bringing that below to below 4.5% by 2026. But in terms of announcing all these projects, how do you go ahead with that, but also manage your finances, along with managing a fairly unpredictable inflationary situation that is still very much persistent?
Yeah, certainly an interesting balancing act going forward. The BBC's India business correspondent, Arundhati Mukherjee, thank you very much for breaking all that down for us.
Thank you, Will.
Well, let's do the numbers now. Yeah, pretty muted in Europe and Asia today. Hong Kong, the biggest riser, up 1% at the moment. Shares in London, Paris, Frankfurt, all flat right now. A quick update on a story we were telling you about on Monday, because officials in Australia, somewhat miraculously, have found a pea-sized capsule full of highly radioactive material that was used in the mining sector. Emergency services said they, quote, literally found the needle in the haystack. Listen back to Monday's pod for more on that unlikely hunt. The price of gold is heading towards record highs around the world, always a sign of instability in more traditional investments and savings. Good news, too, if you think you've struck gold, like these miners in Scotland, as the BBC's David Henderson reports.
We're in a long, dark tunnel in the heart of a mountain, and it's noisy. Somewhere beyond, there's heavy machinery rumbling away, and air filters work to clear the dust. This is Scotland's only gold mine, and it's about to get very busy.
So we have 1.2 kilometres of drives, we call the drives, the tunnels drives, and they're about 3.5 by 3.8 metres tall. So large enough for a machine to get in and to quite comfortably walk in yourself.
Rachel Paul is a mine geologist, and it's been her job to track a seam of gold right through this mountain.
So the vein itself, so it's a quartz vein, and it's been here for 408 million years. You can almost see it above our heads right now, and it has sulfides in it. You can see it a little bit closer in my hands. So when we're looking for this quartz vein, we're looking for different types of mottling and different shear structures. So it's pyrite, chalcopyrite, galena, these sulfide minerals, and they're associated with the gold and the silver. As geologists, we're looking for this vein, and then we're telling the miners which direction to drill into the rock. They will drill in, they will charge it, they will blast it, and they will muck it out with trucks. From there, it can go into a stockpile, into a processing plant, and be crushed.
And that processing plant's right outside the mine. It's in a long green shed that's insulated for sound, as this mine, called Conanish, stands in a national park in the Scottish Highlands. Tons of rock are fed through grinders, and the end product looks like wet, stony sand that's sent off to the Far East for refining and for sale on the world market. Lena Komaleva is chief economist at G Plus Economics in London. She says that for many, gold is a reassuring investment, at a time of great change.
There is always a reason to buy and hold gold. It is a store of value. It is a vehicle of transfer of value between generations. It is a diversifier if you're a pensioner, a saver, an insurer. It's a diversifier for the volatility that we have seen extraordinarily in both government bonds and in equities globally in the last couple of years. It's a place to lean on, particularly when you're worried about inflation and the erosion of the value of our savings.
Back at Conanish Mine, the world price of gold gives every incentive for its owners, Scott Gold Resources, to ramp up production. 100 people already work here, and Chief Executive Philip Day hopes that bumper months lie ahead.
Bumper months is when we start to achieve the ounces of gold that we've always been longing for, which is our phase two, which is creeping towards 2,000 ounces a month.
The company's geologists think they've found new gold veins running far beyond this one site, setting the scene, perhaps, for a gold rush in the Scottish Highlands.
So the areas that we have stretches to the west, just south of Oban, down Campbelltown Way, and it continues on all the way through to Lochtay and the like. We have 2,900 square kilometres of area that we can explore. And so once we've actually done Conanish vein and the vein next to it, then we'll explore out and see how far and big we can actually make this company.
Gold mining on this scale may seem outlandish to some, but gold is a perennial favourite. And with a price tag of more than £1,500 per ounce, it's too tempting a prospect for some to ignore. I'm the BBC's David Henderson for Marketplace.
You don't need to be a soccer fan to know the sums of money that often change hands for the top players can be astronomical. So when I tell you all records were just broken last night in the latest player trade window, you might wonder how in a cost of living crisis. I asked BBC Sports' Mike Williams.
No, Will, the numbers are staggering. Premier League clubs spent £2.8 billion and £815 million in this latest January transfer window. That's an increase of 83% on the previous record of £150 million that was spent on the last day of the January transfer window in 2018. So the numbers are just difficult to get your head around. Really.
Driven along as well, in particular, by an American businessman, right?
Yes, this is Todd Boehly, owner of Chelsea. He bought the club, you might remember, in very turbulent times last year when the previous Russian owner, Roman Abramovich, had his UK assets frozen by the British government following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So in came Boehly, who is already co-owner of the LA Dodgers baseball team, and he's basically been writing some very large checks ever since. In total, Chelsea bought in 8 new players in this January transfer window, spending well over £300 million, taking Boehly's overall spend to over £600 million.
Mike, Chelsea in particular, but the Premier League, were another stark case, wasn't it, of haves and have-nots, because those extraordinary figures you ran us through for Britain's top soccer league, but actually, outside of that, well, we did see the impact perhaps of the financial crunch on global football.
It's feast and famine. The Premier League's financial dominance has certainly been laid bare once again. Spending by the English top-flight clubs made up a staggering 79% of total spending across the so-called Big Five European leagues.
Our own $10 million a week man, Mike Williams, thanks very much for your time.
If only. Thank you, Will.
I've been Will Benn with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for listening.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.